Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchel with my colleague Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute, a columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, writing in his column most recently asking the question, what about Hamas and Hezbollah? Why isn't India involved in denouncing it? The country, as the subhead says, has a terror problem. It's always had a terror problem directed at India. Usually the terrorists come out of Pakistan. In this instance, though, the terrorists are clearly interested in upsetting the world's peace in the Middle East, and that affects everybody in Eurasia. So, Sadanand, your column is very disturbing because I see that India is both a regional power and very careful about the Muslim-Hindu split. Although it wouldn't have come to me, does India or Narendra Modi's government, does it avoid Hamas and Hezbollah because the Muslims of India are not at peace, or because India is threatened by extremists out of Pakistan? Is that why it's ducking?
Yeah, so a couple of things, right? On the face of it seems that pretty much like a no-brainer. I mean, obviously India should ban Hamas and Hezbollah. First of all, just on the facts, these are clearly terrorist groups. They attack civilians. They both subscribe to a radical ideology, a radical interpretation of Islam that discriminates very severely against women, against religious minorities, against gays, and so forth. But in fact, India has banned neither group, even though it has banned other groups such as Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. So the question is why? And the answer I come to in the column is basically twofold. The first is that Hamas and Hezbollah do not directly target India. And so the way the Indians look at it is that, well, these groups are not really attacking us directly, so maybe we just don't want to, you know, get involved in this. The second, and particularly in the case of Hezbollah, is that this would implicate India's relationship with Iran. And even though Iran is much less important to India, in my view, than, for example, Israel or the United Arab Emirates, nonetheless, India does not want to sort of get involved in this, mistakenly, in my view, because it worries about offending the Iranians, who, as we all know, are the main patrons of Hezbollah. The third reason is that India, as you pointed out, does have a very large Muslim minority, more than 200 million people. But that's still a mystery to me, because the Indian Muslims do not typically vote for the BJP or Modi. So I don't think that the Modi government would take too much of a hit if it were to ban Hamas or Hezbollah, because the people who support Hamas and Hezbollah in India, in any case, can't stand the BJP. But that does explain historically why previous Indian governments have not banned these two groups.
You suggest something to me I hadn't considered. Does Congress have a position on this, even though it's not the government?
Well, I'm very sad to say that Congress increasingly sounds like, you know, it's like they're sounding like spokespersons for Hamas. For example, if you look at the Twitter feed of Priyanka Gandhi, who is the sister of the top Congress party leader, Rahul Gandhi, she's about to contest a parliamentary election from a place called Wayanad in Kerala in the south. And it's a constituency that is very heavily Muslim. And as a result, if you look at her Twitter feed, you can sort of, you know, she's almost acting like a spokesperson for Hamas, I would say. So the Congress is very clearly and very aggressively taken a pro-Palestinian position, which sadly, in their minds, seems to translate into a position where they refuse to condemn a terrorist group like Hamas or another terrorist group like Hezbollah.
Do I remember correctly that Narendra Modi and Benjamin Netanyahu have a good personal relationship and they've talked often over these years? Is that a good memory?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Modi and Netanyahu have a very close personal relationship. You know, they wish each other on Twitter for the birthdays, and Modi just wished Netanyahu on Rosh Hashanah. Modi was the first Indian prime minister to visit Israel. And the two countries have an extremely deep defense and intelligence relationship. And if you talk with Indian officials privately, they will tell you that they have no sympathy for Hamas and Hezbollah. They completely recognize that these are fanatical extremist groups that in many ways are very similar to the fanatical extremist groups that target India, right? Whether it's Lashkar-e-Taiba or the Jaish-e-Mohammed. These are traditionally Sunni jihadist groups that have been funded by the Pakistani intelligence agencies. But for these sort of, you know, small-minded, in my view, realpolitik reasons, India hasn't formally placed Hamas and Hezbollah on its list of designated terrorist groups.
And right now, Israel is not asking it to make any changes in its approach to these groups. However, there will be a day when India's weighing in on the peace talks afterwards will be significant. Do you expect Modi to, once the fighting stops, do you expect Modi to have more to say? We have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know, I think the Israelis have been quite understanding of India. They have seen, for example, that India has abstained on several UN resolutions. Right. It has not sided with the anti-Israel countries. And I believe that there is some amount of, you know, covert assistance also coming from India for the, you know, in military terms. The two have a very strong military relationship, except that they tend to keep it more covert than overt.
East is East is the name of Sadanand's column at the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's at the American Enterprise Institute. I thank him very much. Lots of Indian news, and some of it out front, some of it behind closed doors. What's next for India and China, the two giants of the world?
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.